Where to start? Not at the beginning, but in my mid-30s, in November 1976. We had moved to Reigate in Surrey that May, knowing only one couple who we had met briefly. We were Christians and had always belonged to rather middle-of-the-road Anglican churches. Initially, we went to our local parish church, but after a short time knew it wasn't the right place for us as a family. We had three children, Emma and Sue, aged 6 and 7, and Richard, aged 9. In the August, our neighbours told us about the very large annual holiday club run by Reigate Parish Church, St Mary's. The children and I went along, and 2 days later, I was asked to help lead in my daughter's group, as there were so many children. I was horrified, as I had never done anything like this before. Fortunately, all went well. On the Sunday, we went to the family service. Another horror. A band with guitars, drums, and people clapping and laughing. We were made very welcome in church, learning of faith in Jesus in a much more personal way. We were soon invited to a home group, a totally new experience of members praying out loud and discussing Bible passages. We grew very much in our faith and were very well cared for, and the leaders are still friends today. I was also invited to join a daytime wives group run by two very inspiring and caring ladies, one of whom has in recent years moved to St Budoc Parish, Gay Giles. This group at times was even more challenging, discussing various Christian issues in a very Bible-based manner. I struggled very much in the coming weeks, and by mid-November doubted very much that I was a Christian. My faith was very sure, but my teaching till then, whilst very much based on the Trinity, was of God the Father, Jesus his Son, and the Holy Ghost. God as my Father, I've always known and been so thankful for. I had a loving Father, rather strict at times, but always very caring and looking out for us children. So God as my Father was not difficult to accept. I knew Jesus was always with me. Someone I could talk to, who always listened and who was very much my comforter. But the concept of him being in me by his Spirit was one that I really couldn't recall having ever come across, and I found it very difficult to understand. The Holy Spirit, rather than the Holy Ghost, was a very new concept. The Holy Ghost was out there somewhere doing God's work, but in me as the Spirit of Jesus. This was very soon to change. One morning after the previous day's meeting, I was alone in the house clearing the ashes from our coal fire when I sat back on my haunches and in very great despair said to God, I can't be a Christian. I'm not like these Christians here, experiencing you in such a personal way in their lives. I very, very clearly heard a voice saying, of course you are. Startled, I turned to see who had come into the house. No one. I wasn't at all afraid, but was certain it was the voice of God. The relief to learn that I was a Christian was enormous, but going on from there to accept that Jesus was in me by his Spirit, as well as walking along beside me, was incredible. But now to the beginning of my life. I was born into a family of 4 boys, with 2 more baby boys following me. And no, I still maintain I wasn't spoilt. We lived in Edgbaston in Birmingham, I'm a proud Brummie, with my parents and grandparents. At the age of 3, together with my 2 older twin brothers, I was taken by the 2 big girls next door to kindergarten in our parish church, St Germain's. My family didn't go to church, but my mother and grandmother definitely had faith. Later, I joined Brownies and then Guides. I passed the 11 plus and went to a new grammar school on the other side of Birmingham and soon made 3 lovely Christian friends there. Between us, we belonged to 3 different denominations, resulting in times in very lively discussion. However, we soon learnt not to argue about the differences in our traditions, but to be tolerant and understanding of each other. Together with my friend Judy, whom many of you know, I was confirmed at 13, and the greatest challenge was learning my duty to God and my duty towards my neighbour. Declaring my belief in Jesus was no problem. Whilst this was a very sound basis for my Christian life, sadly, we weren't taught about accepting Jesus as Saviour. Sorry, I don't go on a bit. I left school after O-levels, as I'd had enough of the long journey to school, and I joined Midland Bank. When aged 15, I had met Tony at our church's new youth club, and we were married just before my 21st birthday. We moved to Staffordshire, where we had bought a small bungalow. The children were all born there, and soon afterwards we moved to Hell's Own, southwest of Birmingham, to be nearer family. During our marriage, we belonged to Anglican churches with very similar teaching to that which I had experienced while growing up. There was very little fellowship at either one, which I did find difficult. However, we soon became great friends with several Christian neighbours, again of different denominations, teaching us all the wisdom of accepting each other as Christians, not whether we were Baptist, Anglican, etc. During this time, I had very upsetting gynecological problems. Our rector came to see me in hospital following major surgery. I will always remember very sadly saying to him, I don't know how I could have coped without my faith. After being in Hell's Own 5 years, this was very much put to the test. Tony was asked twice to go to interview in London with his publishing company. He turned both requests down. However, we had to seriously reconsider when he was asked yet again. We were both horrified at the thought of living in the southeast, but in May 1976 we moved with 3 very upset children. Every house that we had considered buying was in or near Reigate. Neither of us knew the area. God certainly had his hand on us with plans to shake us up. In time at St Mary's, we both became leaders in Pathfinders and later were home group leaders. When the church was reordered in the early 1980s, I became treasurer of the building fund, a real challenge as we had no church funds to pay for it. The Lord's provision so many times was amazing, as some of you will remember. My health had always been a problem, and again in my mid-30s, I had major surgery. After a traumatic time in hospital, I just wanted to go home. However, I was talked into going straight from hospital to the Mildmay Christian Nursing Home in Worthing. On arrival, I went to my room and was instructed to sleep, but couldn't. Tony was working for the Christian magazine Family, and I lay reading the latest copy. The agony aunt's page had a very moving letter, and the editor had suggested Psalm 139 to the writer. Not knowing it, I read it in my Bible, and there followed the amazing need to wash my hair. That evening after supper, we had a short time of fellowship, ending with a talk by a lady from a local church. She said she hadn't known what topic to base her talk on, but that afternoon was inspired to share Psalm 139. I sat there in amazement and very near to tears. Afterwards, I was impelled to share with everyone who were very much older than me what had happened to me that afternoon, not what I wanted to do at all. The change in me during the rest of my stay was incredible. I was at peace, knowing that God was there with me and wanted me to be there. Various other highs and lows happened during the Reigate years. On optician's advice, I didn't drive. There'd been an accident when I was 10 weeks old, which had left me with very little sight in my right eye and with poor balance. However, in my mid-40s and after an assessment at a mobility centre, I passed my driving test. What a difference that made to my daily life. The Lord had kept me very calm, and very surprisingly, I passed my test first time. Lows. A very painful fall downstairs in 1985 has left me with back and shoulder problems. The breakup of my marriage after nearly 30 years was devastating. Soon afterwards, a burglary at our home at 5:30 one morning when the children and I were in bed was awful. Thanks to our dog, the culprit ran off, taking very little with him or her. But when the post arrived, it included a letter from a friend who was at that time provost of Embu Cathedral, way north of Nairobi. He started with the words, I bring you the love of the Lord Jesus. I still find it incredible that it should arrive that particular morning. After my tears and thanking Jesus for this means of assuring me of his love, I just knew I had to give my testimony in church. I'd been asked twice before by our vicar, but I'd refused, knowing it not to be something I could or should do. When I told a friend later what had happened, she immediately said I now had to do it. Confirmation of my earlier prompting. I did it the following Sunday. The Holy Spirit was very much in and surrounding me, giving me the words and confidence to do so. There were various totally unexpected outcomes. One was a lady who also knew Johnson very well. She said that if I wanted to go out to Kenya sometime, she'd love to come with me. We did so several months later, experiencing worship in the family and formally in the cathedral and other places, though it was very far from formal. After living in Reigate for almost a year, I worked in various finance roles, going from temping to full-time work as the children got older. I did various professional courses leading me to management posts. In 1994, I was offered a management pilot role in personnel and training when my finance post was made redundant. This change in my career in my early 50s was a great challenge at times. Thank goodness for Arrow prayers. Twice while going through divorce, I had been to Lee Abbey in North Devon, a wonderful place to experience God's peace and calm. I really felt a call after 5 years in the personnel role to apply to work there and kept praying about it with a view to going the following year, 2001. As ever, not my plans, but yours, Lord. In early 2000, holiday arrangements with a friend had unexpectedly to be abandoned. My annual leave had to be taken before the end of March, so I planned to visit friends and relations around the country instead. But a TV travel programme changed that plan. A short clip from the South China Sea off the coast of Borneo was shown. I had done quite a lot of travelling, but this had me spellbound. Within less than half an hour, I had booked and paid for the holiday. I woke in a sweat that night, very worried about what I had done. I'd never been on a foreign holiday on my own, and I certainly hadn't prayed about it. Soon afterwards, a friend prayed with me after a very troubled day. To my horror, she asked the Lord to provide me with a husband, certainly something I did not want. Very true. Little did I know that around this time, George, here in Falmouth, had also booked the same holiday on impulse. Many of you know the rest. We got engaged overlooking the sea from a corner of the churchyard at Church Cove on the Lizard. Although I was very sure, I constantly prayed that this was what the Lord wanted for me. We married 6 months after meeting in a wonderful service at St Mary's. I had been to this part of Cornwall 30 times since 1963, so at least I did know where I was emigrating to. For the first few years, we lived between Surrey and Cornwall. This was not good for our church, nor day-to-day life. So we sold up in Surrey and later bought our current house, where we have been for 10 very happy years. Through the Thanksgiving service at St Budoc Church 13 years ago, given for Laurie Hamilton, Judith's husband, George and I came here, and it soon became our Christian home. But so much for my plans for working at Lee Abbey. This troubled me, as I thought maybe marrying George was ignoring the Lord's call. However, we soon became great friends with Doreen Burt. Very unexpectedly, she asked me if I knew Lee Abbey, and if so, would I run a fellowship group with her? Together, we did so for 5 years, meeting wonderful people and experiencing deep fellowship. That was the Lord's plan, not my own earlier one. I have been blessed with various diverse roles at St Budoc, and I believe being treasurer for nearly 4 years, whilst primarily for the Lord's work here, is also for his continuing enabling of me to depend on him. I have been nudged by him through numerous sermons and services many times, including yesterday. I pray it continues. A big nudge came from him 3 years ago in PC World, when buying a Treasurer computer. The business department salesman asked me quite persistently what sort of things I would be doing on the new computer. One thing was reports to the diocese. "What's the diocese?" he asked. This led on to an amazing time of his questions about our faith and telling me where his life was at and not in the Christian world. Half an hour later, my brief reply to his final question, in between business questions, was that Jesus gave us two commandments, to love God and to love our neighbour. And this on a busy Saturday morning. And I did buy the computer. Or some good doctor did. So finally, I will always be deeply grateful for the two big girls who took me to kindergarten all those years ago, and for the many people in my life who have taught and encouraged me, particularly Geoffrey and Charles at this time. Also thanks to the church family here for their support and fellowship. I will always be most thankful to our mighty and majestic God for all he has done in me, his very undeserving child, for the miracle of his words in Reigate, for giving me his Holy Spirit, and for his presence at all times, not just in the past, but in the present, in the future, and in the hope to come. I pray for more gifts of his Spirit, as well as a deepening knowledge and use of the fruits of his Spirit. I know how I have used the word amazing several times, but it always does amaze me how he works in us if we truly believe and trust in him as our Saviour and friend. As Psalm 139 says, "Where will I go from your Spirit? Where can I go from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." Alleluia. Thank you for listening.